Scratch that. Let's try something new. Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We're your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee. Hello! The new season is out.
You!
Book 6, Stars.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. We just watched the first 2 episodes together. Mm-hmm. I've not seen any further either. I'm holding back.
Yes.
For this very first episode of the podcast, so...
Thank you, Kaylee.
I'm in as much suspense as Yana is in. Wait. We didn't talk about the music.
Oh, true. We tried something new, but didn't talk about it. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Then let's talk about that first of all. So the thing we tried in the beginning was a new intro song from our friend Sasha, because since... the Dragon Prince changed to the Mystery of Erebos. They also have this new intro. So now Sasha had a go at doing a version of it. And yeah, we wanted to know what you think, our listeners, if you like the new version, or if it's just a little experiment. And then from the next episode, we go back to our OG intro, which we both really like, so we're a little bit biased. We're not quite sure about the new music yet, but yeah, new can be a bit scary. Yeah. Let us know what you think, and yeah, we'll see if we continue to use it. But thank you, Sasha, very much. It's really cool.
For either versions, because he did both.
Yeah, he did all. He did most of our music.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's very cool. Okay, so. Let's get on with the synopsis. So today we're talking about Chapter 1, Star Touched, and Chapter 2, Love, War, and Mushrooms. Chapter 1, Star Touched. To our surprise, Viren survived, only to find out Claudia performed the spell. Sparklepuff is gone. Viren feels freer than ever and wants to face justice in Catullus for his actions. Claudia is distraught and decides she doesn't need anyone, leaving Terry on the beach. The heroes are trying to decide what to do with the Pearl Prison. Callum is afraid of Arifus's influence over him, and he and Rayla head to the Frozen North. And Chapter 2, Love, War, and Mushrooms. Zim, Sorbus, Hat, and Pyra search for Zubeya, meeting magical mushroom creatures and a mushroom mage. The Sunfire Elves prepare for civil war. Janai leads with hope, trust, and love. Karim with conservatism, fear, and promise of Sol Regum's aid.
Du-du-dum. Yeah, crazy.
Yep.
Okay, first feelings. I'm excited what you're saying.
What I'm saying about my first feelings about the first chapter.
Yeah.
My first feelings were OMG. the emotion of this chapter is incredible. A lot of good crying. My first big feeling is get Callum away from that pill.
Mm-hmm.
Do not carry that around, Callum. I think it's a bad idea, but there we go. And I felt like the animation is better in this season than it was, but it may just be because we watched it on your very big TV, Anna. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing out on my normal size TV at home. And my other feelings, yeah, that the makers, the creators of the show were very cheeky with their teasers. I don't know if you saw any of their teasers that they had.
No.
But one of them was this scene with Claudia and Terry, where she's over Terry's body and is like, everyone left me.
Oh.
And you will not leave me. And then the teaser ends and it's like, what's she gonna do to Terry?
I see.
So I was very much in suspense about that. And yeah, cheeky creators for making me think that Claudia might have done something horrible to Terry. Other than the heartbreak, obviously, that's already horrible enough.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's my first feelings about the first chapter. And yours?
I had just goosebumps from all this drama on the beach with Claudia, Terry, and Viren, and Sir Sparklepuff.
Oh, yeah.
Some remains. That was horrible. And yeah, so much crying, so much drama, and also some hope for the search for the sword to destroy the pearl, or do something with the pearl, and search for Zubeya.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's leave it like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, let's get into it then.
Yeah. Let's also talk about the intro.
Yeah.
Because Kelly suggested that we should watch the intro, because I already skip it, because it's the same. But, yeah, it's not the same. First, we have Eros crying, and a mysterious elf appears and says something to him and calms him down. But we have no idea when this was, who it was, where it was, why it was.
why Aramis is crying. Yeah, all of these things. Yeah, I suspect that it's the star nexus.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've got, like, you know, there's like a moon nexus and a blah, where there's like a lot of power.
Yeah.
But if it is the star nexus, like, he would have loads of power there, right? Yeah. So why the tears?
Yeah.
And the quote that she says is, "We are all stardust held together by love for an instant." Just a nice quote. But what does she mean? And she also, like, zips down from the stars.
Yeah.
Like, she... Yeah,
appears
from the stars, it feels like. Mystery upon mystery. So, so this chapter begins with a question.
Yeah.
And that was also a teaser, that scene.
Teaser from the showrunners. Yeah. And then we have the usual intro where we see Viren still crying as he turns into a statue, or stone statue. But then something happens, because Eros' hand comes down from the air and then just pokes the stone Viren, and the statue crumbles to dust.
Yeah.
Normally he picks him up and looks at him and smiles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's obviously a change.
Yeah.
And then the normal story begins. So intro change.
Exciting stuff.
Yeah.
Crumbly Viren. And at that point, we still don't know what's happened to Viren. The chapter begins with Viren laying where we left him in the last chapter, in the finale, looking rather holy, but it's no longer nighttime, it's now the next morning.
Mm-hmm. And we see Terry picking up firewood or something to burn, maybe. A butterfly and bird appear, and he is humming some happy tunes. I wrote down, why is he happy? Because they just had a horrible night and lost someone, apparently, and can't find him, whoever that is. I suspected Sparklepuff.
And I suspected Viren.
Yeah. And maybe we are both right, because they lost Sir Sparklepuff, and they also lost Viren.
Yeah.
But yeah, Terry found him, and Viren is alive. And then something happens that never happened. Viren hugs Terry. That's a first.
True.
And Terry picks him up happily after that, which also never happened.
Mm-hmm.
They're both really, really excited and happy. And also Viren is singing, I'm alive, I'm free, from Erebus. And it's really glad.
Yeah.
And then the drama begins, because they go to the beach, leave the forest, and we see Claudia and a lot of blood on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Viren suspected that Eros did lie about the 30 days. Orvi had also a small talk about it, and Kelly said something about, okay, this is the last day of the 30 days, so we miscounted or what?
Yeah, I suspected either that was the last day, or that Erebus had lied and had used it to manipulate them to find the Pearl prison. But yeah.
But a dark-eyed and no butterflies for breakfast, Claudia.
Oh dear.
Turns around and says, yeah, no, he didn't lie. I did the sacrifice and the spell. We see only wings are left. And lots of blood.
Lots of blood. Oh, poor Sparklepuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were spared the horror of what she did. But yeah, Claudia's not been spared at all.
No.
She's drained. She's covered in blood herself. And she's darker than we've ever seen her before.
They talk about it, and Claudia says something about the common sense of Viren, however dangerous, however vile.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Viren explains it's only parents to children and not the other way around.
Yeah.
That should never happen. So mm-hmm. children shouldn't be sacrificing everything for the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a child should never suffer, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't even see her in her full state
mm-hmm.
because she also left a leg.
She lost her leg, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very distraught at what has happened to Claudia and blames himself for it because she's followed his dark path. And she tries to appeal to her to not release Erebus and to give it up. And but she's stuck on that path now, it seems.
He regrets his path and wants to go a different path, the path of truth. And go to Catullus and face truth or his destiny. So maybe imprisonment.
Yep.
Or
probably
worse.
Yeah.
So he completely changed.
Yeah.
That's also crazy. But Gloria is like, no, you owe me your life. You have to stay. Cries hysterically. It's
It's heart-wrenching. Yeah, it really is.
It gave me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because the scene also with the leftover ritual we see from above later, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. And when Viren goes to leave and gives her a hug and his bottom lip is quivering, these little details in the animation are really, really good. And this from above, it's very dramatic with the red sea and the red blood and everything. It's really, wow.
Oh, was the sea red?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And I don't know if the sea's red because it's full of more blood or because of the time of day or anything, but yeah.
Or this scene with David Lynch, Twin Peaks.
Ah, the Twin Peaks red back again.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mixture of all of this.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize this. Okay, interesting.
And then we get the scene with creepy Claudia waking up Terry. I didn't see you there.
That's a weird morning thing.
Because I was asleep. this moment, which I already mentioned. But you're never going to leave me. ...
And then I thought, if you leave, I will kill you.
Yeah.
You know, like normal romance thing.
Normal.
Yeah. because she also lost her mom,
mm-hmm.
brother, and now dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, attachment issues.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Can totally. You say?
Yeah, abandonment issues.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then, because I'm leaving you first.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Interesting logic. Better than what I thought was that she was going to put a horrible spell on Terry that basically would turn Terry into a zombie that follows her wherever in whatever she does.
Also, yeah.
That's the way I thought it was
going to okay, go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Or turn him into a coin.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it could have gone way worse. Oh, yeah, I'm actually pleased with the outcome. Yeah. Maybe Terry can now go off and be with the heroes.
No, Terry will stay behind on the beach.
That's what Terry said. Like.
Yeah, but I don't think he will go away and...
I think it'll take him a while, but I think he might seek Soren out to go and help Claudia.
Hmm. Maybe. But yeah, first he will clean up the beach. and bury, the wings.
Bury the wings, yeah.
And then, okay, maybe embarking on a quest of his own.
Maybe.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't think this is the end of our...
No.
Like, seeing Terry. Our relationship with Terry, I wanted to say. Okay, so that was basically all of the stuff with the anti-heroes.
Yeah. We should move on to heroes, but they have a new name now, because everything is new.
Mm-hmm.
They're now the Fellowship of the Pearl.
Yes, the Fellowship of the Pearl. So it begins with a super secret high council meeting, and Lord Bread Sandwich and Lady Bossyface entering the secret place, which is actually the High Mage office.
After a really long secret knock.
Yeah, very complex. And Apelli gets introduced to the Baitlings and gets updated on everything that's happened. Also useful for the audience if they haven't seen the last couple of seasons recently. They got a rundown of what they've been up to and what the status is right now of the mission of finding Erebus's prison.
Mm. What I found really interesting is that Barius is there first.
Yeah.
Not Opelli.
Yeah.
Barius.
Yeah. Barius is very important.
Yeah.
As what's his name?
Baker in Chief. Minister of Crust and Shellies. It's in book 4, chapter 1.
Okay, so he was there before Apelli.
Yeah.
Because he now has a very important role to play. As we will see later, his role continues to be very important. So yeah, we get the update and they're trying to decide what to do with the Pearl Prison. Barius thinks it might be safer hidden with the other kingdoms. Apelli wanted to guard it at the castle. I believe.
It's the other way around.
Yeah.
Opelli thinks that they should also do a multi-kingdom blah, blah, blah.
Sorry, yeah.
And Barius thinks they should hide it and keep it a secret.
Okay, sorry, my mistake. Callius? Callum is afraid of being manipulated and wants to destroy it. Soren suggests that they become the Fellowship of the Pearl and do a whole Lord of the Rings mission and throw the pearl in a volcano. But Rayla points out it's unclear if they destroy it, it will kill Erebus or it will just release him. So is it not better to keep it in Catullus?
Yeah, as decides that it should stay there. It's too risky to destroy it. And yeah, they hide it.
Yeah. But like I said, big red flags with keeping it in Catullus.
Yeah.
Like keeping it around, bad idea.
Yeah.
I think.
But that was my saying in the last chapter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they got the prison and now they're taking the prison with them. Mm-hmm. Is, I think, the worst idea they could have. Yeah.
But we'll get to that. So then we have another scene of Zim looking at the painting of Zabea, which was damaged back in season 5. But they seem to have fixed it, except for like a scar across Zabea's face. And Ez promises that they'll go to find her once the pearl is safe. On the roof of the castle, the key of Erebus is glowing with star magic because Stella is there. And Callum tells Rayla that they need to go to the frozen north, to the Starscraper, to get the Nova Blade to kill Erebus with.
Oh.
And...
to the Celestial Elves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a bonus is that the Quasar Diamonds are there, and that's what Callum needs to do the spell to release Rayla's loved ones from the creepy coins.
Mm-hmm. But she is like, no, she would love to get her parents and Runan out, but she wouldn't let it bias her. And first, let's protect the prison,
mm-hmm.
or do something, also, like...
To follow Ezrin's wishes.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. Yeah, but Callum is like, no, Eros is not powerless and is afraid that he's gonna use him.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah.
And then we get the scene of him having a nightmare and then sleepwalking to the pearl,
mm-hmm.
which completely looks like he's being puppeted by Aravos.
Yeah.
And is transported into the pearl itself. Yeah. Which is very
Viren, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it happened to Viren, he was still kind of see-through. Like, yeah. It was just his spirit.
Ah, true.
But it seemed like it was actually that Callum was in the pearl,
yeah.
which was really creepy. And with Aravos outside it,
yeah.
holding the pearl.
True.
But it was really... Yeah, it's obviously like a mix of dream and reality or something.
Mm-hmm.
But Callum also saw these very specific names of books and stuff, which makes it seem like it actually was real.
Ah, true, yeah. Three books he read, he read the titles of three books, Poetica Cosmica, Realms Beyond Time, and The Four Ancient Gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he also saw the chair, which looked familiar. He saw the broken mirror with a piece falling down. Then he sees... Eros?
He dreams or thinks that Erebus is smashing the
pearl. Yeah, exactly. And then the pearl falls down and Callum wakes up or mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
Also interesting with the introducing of this nightmare, because Eros comes into his mind mm-hmm. multiple times with the prison still intact.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the mirror still whole
mm-hmm.
and with a horror music thingies. Three times, and then they swap places somehow. Yeah. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But why is the mirror still intact and stuff, you know?
Well, it's not still intact. It's smashed.
No. Not when the face of Varus appears and the nightmare is introduced.
Interesting. I didn't know.
Or that. At least it looked like me. Okay. It looked like it.
I thought we just saw it from the back.
Yeah? Okay.
Not sure, anyway, but like yeah, slightly...
Let's check this maybe again, and then we talk about it later in the next episode.
Yeah.
Or something.
It definitely had like a nightmarish quality,
yeah.
And it's like unclear what actually happened to Callum and what was part of his imagination, basically.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, but just... Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
No,
sleepwalking was real. No.
Yeah, sleepwalking, but was it controlled by Erebus or not? We don't know.
Yeah. Or was it sleepwalking? Because he was waking up in his bed again, right?
No, he woke up holding the pill.
Ah, okay, in the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and by the way, worst hiding place ever.
Yeah, of course.
In Viren's old secret dungeon that yeah. everybody knows about. Yeah. Like
behind this creepy sheep picture.
Yeah.
With the eyes.
Really, really, really bad idea. And especially if Viren comes back.
True. Oh, what's that in my normal secret hiding place? It's the pearl? What?
What? Just what I was looking for.
Yeah, thank you.
And Claudia also knows how to get in there. Oh, dear me. So one note I had about this was this whole thing with the pearl and stuff and Callum's kind of obsession with it in that moment reminded me of Lord of the Rings, and was it Pippin? Who has the looking glass and is kind of enchanted by the looking glass. You remember?
No. Yeah, this but either like... Pippin or Merry.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have to look that up. But like,
you fool.
Yeah, you fool. Yeah, that kind of reminded me of
true.
That. There's a few Lord of the Rings references going on in this.
Yeah, also the what did Callum say... The giant super sharp axe, then they have the bow,
mm-hmm.
they have a sword,
mm-hmm.
they have, someone has a staff.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Lots of parallels.
We are the smoking pipes.
Yeah. But I mean, it is this kind of medieval-ish world. Huh? Yeah. Like, I mean, those are kind of typical for that yeah. as well. But yeah. No, I get where you're going.
But it's a awesome reference.
Yeah.
I love it.
So Callum runs up to wake Rayla. Rayla's like half dreaming, wanting to fight Callum with pillows. And Rayla says she thinks it's just a dream. But then when Callum goes into it more, she's like, okay, I believe you. But what can we do about it, you know? And Callum takes her blankie and runs away. And then goes to see Barius.
Oh.
What brings you here, business or jelly?
That's great that business is this business or pleasure, you know, is jelly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Callum explains his idea to Barius. It should be something special and innovative and also scrumptious. So, yeah,
and let's see. Yeah, and I'll learn the meaning of scrumptious.
Yeah. It's also a little bit weird because it could also mean a girl.
I don't think that. I think that was like, I've never heard of a girl being referred to as scrumptious.
Yeah, you. But, you know, maybe, I don't know, old white people, you know, saying, ooh, that's a scrumptious girl.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
But it could be.
Hopefully.
I mean,
it's good that you never heard
it. If you looked
it
up and it said so, someone must have referred to a girl as scrumptious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
So, scrumptious or disgusting? Or disgustingly scrumptious?
No. It's disgusting that... the meaning of this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then we go get the Zim and Sorin howling at the moon.
Like a husky.
Yeah.
Also, Sorin wonders about his mom, which we also never heard of. So we don't know her mom, his mom.
His mom, yeah. We only know that she left.
Yeah.
And she went to Dunbar, I think, is the name of the city.
Okay. Oh.
But that might be a foreshadowing of, she's coming up in this season, because she hasn't been mentioned for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, Claudia mentioned her as well, huh?
Yeah, but in this episode.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, twice in one episode.
That's a high chance. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Esrin also hears the howling and says, okay, we have to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Callum comes in and... yeah, here I have something.
Mm-hmm.
I have a new plan. And yeah, he explains also the plan to Rayla. And it's not relaxing knitting, but it's an anti-magic blanket. And we also have a decoy pearl made by the baker. No, the...
Barius.
No, the title.
Ah.
Baker-in-chief.
Baker-in-chief,
yeah. Baker-in-chief. It's a the famous brown sludge mounted and molded, and outside is candy coating. So
yeah, it's a giant smarty.
It's delicious. it's a smarty, yeah. Oh. But it's also a little bit cloying, so the sugar is a little bit magic-y.
Yeah, maybe Callum also enhanced it with magic to make it extra sparkly.
Yeah.
Decorative and delicious.
Yeah. Awesome. And yeah, the plan is to swap the pearl with the decoy pearl in case someone finds it. And
in the bad hiding place.
Yeah, in the bad hiding place. And they only get the awesome taste of this
sweet,
delicious.
A face thing. Full of candy.
Yeah. Exactly. And the new plan is that they take the real pearl with them to the north.
Yeah.
So exactly like Frodo.
Yeah.
And Sam.
Goodbye.
So Rayla is Sam. And who is Gollum?
Sneasels.
Sneasels.
Yeah. And Ezrin bids farewell to everyone. Sorin and Zim keep each other safe. And Pyra. And Hat, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Raylam head out on Shadowpaw with Stella and Sneasels. Where's Bait?
With Ezrin.
Okay.
I guess.
Ah,
so Ezrin keeps Bait and Jellybug.
Ah, true. Yeah. That's it.
The goodbyes were weird, in my opinion. But also it's nice to see Callum and Rayla close again.
Yeah.
Like he is sitting behind her and having his arms wrapped around her waist. And then also, because he's so tired, puts his head on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Or shoulder blade.
Falls asleep.
Yeah.
Cuddling his blankie pearl.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But Rayla is not unhappy about it.
Yeah, she smiles. And it's a very cinematic kind of riding out of Catullus over the bridge with the sun coming up.
Yeah,
really cool. And it's a bit of a reverse, a role reversal for the two of them from the last time they headed out on a mission together to go to Luxoria. And Rayla was all like, I'm not a morning person. Oh, I'm so tired.
True.
And he was all like, oh, we're going on a mission. I'm so excited. Interesting little role reversal there. But he was up all night baking with Barius and
knitting,
sewing his blanket.
Yeah, interesting.
And
nice.
That's the end of that chapter. Exciting stuff.
What about the title?
The title was Star Touched, huh?
Yeah.
The beginning of the Star Book.
Yeah, but also Callum gets Star Touched.
Ah.
Claudia and Rurin get Star Touched.
Mm-hmm.
By, you know, so Sparklepuff, Ritual,
okay.
Eros,
blah. Star Magic.
And Eros gets Star Touched by this mysterious elf.
Yeah, true.
So,
yeah, and Stella's all star-y magic-y as well.
And we also get star-touched.
Yeah.
So everyone gets star-touched.
Okay, all right, we're all star-touched. although my ears are still round, not turning elfy just
not yet.
Overarching themes, I have big feelings, mourning, grieving, missing, heartbreak, and veering, crumbling in the beginning. It's all like, heavy.
Oh, true.
Yeah. That's what I have.
Okay, outros. You start.
First we see Apelli blindfolded.
Mm-hmm. Then we see Callum with the prison pearl sleepwalking.
And then we get Sorin, Zim, and Ezrin howling at the moon. And it's called the Three Wolf Moon t-shirt, which was apparently an online sensation. Because I looked at it and I thought I recognized it, so I just looked it up. And on Wikipedia, there's a whole article about it. The Three Wolf Moon t-shirt was originally on Amazon and got famous because of the review commentary on it, such as, it makes the wearer irresistible to women, striking fear into other males and having magical healing abilities.
What the fuck?
And it was so much of a thing that it also showed up in Minecraft. In Minecraft, there's a parody of this t-shirt, but with other creatures on it, like in the moon. A very a funny reference, which I didn't know about before.
I didn't know about it either. And I play Minecraft. And yeah.
Yeah.
What?
So now that we'll have to add another bit of the wiki that it's now been referenced also in the Dragon Prince.
Awesome. Yeah, really funny. Okay, thanks. I will look it up and put it in the show notes, obviously. Okay, then we see this mysterious Star Touch elf.
And just one note there, I noticed on her, it looks like she has on her belt like three stars, and it looks to me a bit like the quasar diamonds on the map.
Doesn't she also have a crown or something?
Maybe. Don't know. Anyway, but yeah, maybe she's one of those elves.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the Star Scraper.
Anyway,
Terry mourns Sparklepuff stroking the wing.
And then the aftermath of the ritual by Claudia on the beach. That's it.
Chapter 2, Love, War, and Mushrooms. So, my emotional reactions were love the mushrooms. And in this, for me, there's so many references to older stories like Alice in Wonderland, also with the shrinking mushrooms,
True. Oh, God.
Princess Mononoke, the little mushrooms remind me of the little creatures in the trees with the little, like, the faces.
Okay, so because I also wrote down, hey, it's Studio Ghibli, something with the mushrooms.
Exactly.
And I didn't know which one, but okay.
Yeah. So Princess Mononoke.
Yeah.
Also, The Legend of Zelda and the Minish Cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's also with, shrinking down to size to get to places you can't usually go. It's not by eating mushrooms, but anyway. And another Legend of Zelda that I played recently, I can't remember what it was, there's also like a massive mushroom creature.
Okay.
So like, yeah, lots of like, it's a nice meld of lots of different cool things.
Okay, I have another thing.
Yeah.
But you have to wait till the end of the episode.
Okay. Then with the credits?
Or? Yeah.
Okay, good. So other things I thought about but we can talk about this at the end maybe. Anyway, it's just a theory. I'm wondering if Zubeya's being kept sick so that she can't just help the Sunfire Elves against Sol Rigam.
Hmm. But by Muko?
No, but just by the story writers, basically.
Yeah. Okay,
because
sure.
It would be a bit too easy if Zubeya was now healthy and could just jump to their rescue. So at least now it's a bit, there's more suspense because Zubeya is still sick and, oh no, like, yes, Karim has a smaller army, but they have this massive dragon potentially helping them. Yeah. So yeah, it's a bit of a... Yeah, okay.
Could be. Yeah, sure.
And it is making it exciting, but it's also, like, we want Zubeya to be better, and I'm assuming that she will be by the time they battle.
I also thought the Mushroom Mage is putting a spell on her, and then next day, fine, again. But, of course, it's the writers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But every story has to be written for someone and things happen for reasons. But yeah, that's my thoughts on it. It would be a shame if she shrunk like forever in this tree.
And would be super funny.
Little mini. I'm so fierce. Oh dear.
And then Sol Rigam like, what's the thing around my head? This buzzing noise.
Zap, zap.
Zapping noise.
Zappity zap. Like a little one of these fly catching, these blue fly catching machines. sorry. Okay, that was just my thoughts on this chapter. What were your thoughts on this chapter?
I didn't write anything down, so I have to be spontaneously. Lots of story arcs going on in different directions. So lots of quests.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting to see also the change of Janai.
Mm-hmm.
And Karim, obviously. I'm excited about both Fellowship of the Pearl arcs. And we didn't see anything of Viren or Claudia or Terry. So, I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Just this.
Yeah, it was kind of cool that we didn't get any Viren, Terry, Claudia action, like to get a little bit of a break from that, because I think adding them to this chapter as well would have been too much.
True, yeah. I also have lots of notes already from the other story arcs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, true. But Viren should only be on his way to Catullus.
Yeah.
So nothing exciting there.
Mm-hmm.
And Claudia, that's the mysterious thing.
Yeah. Where's she gone? What's she going to do? Yeah, and I can imagine Viren kind of making his way through Zadia. Maybe finally making friends with some animal creatures, magical creatures and stuff along the way. And poor Terry on a beach, crying. We'll see. Anyway, should we get into it?
Yeah, sure.
So, I've got Sorvus, Hat, and Pyra.
Yeah, I have the Dragception, because they were riding on Pyra, a dragon. Zim was riding on Pyra to search for Zubeya. So, dragon on dragon, searching for a dragon.
Nice. And then we get the Hat on Hat.
awesome.
As well.
Yeah.
Perfect name.
It's so funny.
Dragonception. Okay.
No, Dragception.
Dragception, sorry. Yeah. So we get big squeezes for Corvus when they arrive. A bit long, though, for Corvus's taste.
No, excessive.
A bit excessive. Then they head to the Stormspire. We get a beautiful shot of Pyra outside the Stormspire. Like, it's just a really nicely conceived picture. And then Corvus is doing some detective work and trying to figure out where Zubea went and asks if she was sick. To which Sorin tells him that she had a wound that festered and didn't want to worry Zim, so didn't want Sorin to tell anyone.
No.
And then suggests that they use word hands so that Zim doesn't understand what he's saying when they're talking about these things. Corvus says that he knows what word hands is, but Sorin doubts it because Corvus doesn't go to parties, so how could he know what word hands is? And that he never went to his Crown Guard barbecue game night bonding extravaganzas.
A little bit different.
Okay, sorry, what's it called?
Crown Guard bonding barbecue game night extravaganzas.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But Corvus can do this because then he does the word hand for up.
Really good. I'm just loving Corvus in this chapter. Yeah. Like I'm totally 100%. I think they're my favorite ship.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Also that Sorin is a little bit more touchy and
yeah.
Also, Corvus is like, okay, no, why do you put your hand on my shoulder? Me. And what's going on here?
Yeah.
And but later they also hug.
They have a really nice hug at the end. Yeah. I think they've also been apart for a while, you know? It takes a while to warm up again to each of them. So then they're at the site of the crash, where Zubea crashed and met the Mushroom Man. Where is she? What am I not seeing? And then they have a look at the mushrooms and realize, oh, I've never seen mushrooms like this before, pointed out by Zim. And Sorin, spit it out. You too. Sorin definitely has to try if it's edible. Very dangerous. And they decide to follow the mushrooms.
And leave Pyra behind and not even thank her. What the fuck? Come on.
I don't think it was that bad. I think she was just going to follow them over the trees because she's too big to walk through the
forest. Yeah, but it was like not even looking, turning around and, you know, like just abusing her or what?
Bye, Pyra.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing.
Thanks for nothing.
That was a little bit weird for me. But yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, maybe she just flies.
That's what I thought, but I could get your feelings as well. Like, thank you for carrying us all this way. And then we learn more about Camp Catullus, which Sorin had mentioned seasons before of going to camp. So Sorin sings the summer camp song. And we're learning a lot about Corvus in this episode, because apparently Corvus led all the songs at camp.
Also, the song was funny because it was a fast cut scene change and he did some touches of Sim and stuff. It was hilarious.
Funny, This motivational nature of Sorin trying to get everybody in a good mood. It's nice. And then we've got the nice saying, we've come to the last mushroom. What? And then Corvus says, that's not a saying. And he said, well, you clearly didn't learn anything at camp. All-knowing Sorin. Corvus has missed some important camp lessons.
Now I want to see more of this camp.
Yeah, I want to get a flashback of Sorin and Corvus at camp. They lay down for the night and Zim says goodnight to Ezrin. And that he loves him. And Ezrin says he loves him too. Lots of love. Also mentioned in the title, huh? And they wake up surrounded by mushrooms. there's fungus among us.
Hilarious.
And there's so many puns. I don't think, like, we could leave them to the jelly tarts. But yeah.
And it's also immediately, Sim sees a moving mushroom, and Soren is like, we should eat him.
But then feels bad once he realizes they're actually alive.
And then I wrote down the Ghibli Studios, so we also talked about this.
Yeah.
And now they use word hands for communication with the mushroom. First, Soren uses dragon and the mushroom is afraid. But then he changes and uses caring, loving mom.
Yeah.
And the baby needs to find her.
To find his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Mush Pal runs off.
Oh.
And they're chasing after it.
Fast.
Super fast.
Yeah.
Surprisingly fast.
Oh.
Corvus hurts his leg jumping over a log, and Soren gives him a piggyback. Mm-hmm. And then they land in a dip with big mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get spored to sleep.
It's a humongous fungus among us. It's a trap. Yeah.
And then they wake up to a mushroom with a mustache. And they all have mushroom hats.
Mush caps.
Mush caps. Even hat.
Yeah.
Has a mush cap.
Yeah. And it's necessary for the giant mushroom to identify his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we get introduced again to the mushroom mage. The name is Muko. And we have lots of mush friends, much obliged, mush hush, mush taken, mush kin.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of puns.
Slightly too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
it's like the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like.
Yeah.
Something like this.
Mm-hmm. It was a bit much, but it was very funny at the same time. And then they take Zim to the tree where Zabea is, and Zim eats a mushmallow to shrink, and sees Zabea in her tree spittle. I said a hospital tree spittle.
Zim is now fun-sized.
Yeah. And Sarvis are talking because Soren is worried about Zim. And then Corvus word hands, he's got you a good man with a big heart. Oh.
Uh-huh.
So much love. And then they have their really nice hug, which is great. I want to see more of this.
And then we learned from Zubea that the corrupted magic is dangerous and maybe also
contagious.
The tree trend takes time because of the writers.
Yes. Yes.
She has to stay in the tree hospital to recover. And Zim should leave because, what should we do here? Yeah, you know.
Because your brother Ezra needs you.
Yeah.
Aww. Oh, I had a tear in my eye. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Zim leaves the tree, and they're leaving the forest, and Soren is Hat's hat.
Oh. Of course he had to eat a marshmallow.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I would.
Yeah, of course. Give me all the marshmallows. Sure.
Love it. Do you think they're also sweet like marshmallows? No. I just imagine them actually being really tasty. The little mushrooms.
No.
Just like mushroom, like.
Yeah.
Or like bitter.
Yeah, okay, good question.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Mushmallows just makes it sound so delicious.
True.
Now I want marshmallows. So, should we go back to the Sunfire Elves?
Mm-hmm.
Janai, furious and paranoid, accuses one of the horns of sounding like her brother and orders him to take his mask off so she can see his true feelings, and takes off her own crown. She's surprised to see that he's afraid, but she is being very scary, I would be scared as well. And Janai is so out of it that she's also cruel to Amaya and says that how can she know what it is like to be a queen? She sits by the sunseed tree, throws the crown on the ground, and she cries and goes into lava mode and sets fire to the tree, even crying and wailing, only to be pulled back by Amaya while Gren tries to put out the fire on the tree. Janai is despairing at her situation, and Amaya tells her and reassures her, you can still fix this, but not by yourself.
And tells her the story of a king with a thousand eyes, which is a long tale about, he is suspecting everyone of bad influence or something, and turns them all into spies, which turn against each other.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he has no one left.
Yep.
And everyone is in, abandons him, and he's friendless, and the whole city is in chaos and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yay, cool.
Hooray. A good lesson for history, but sad.
Yeah.
Amaya wakes up to an empty bed and finds Janai by the sunseed tree. Janai had just read the whole story of the king with a thousand eyes after finding it in the camp. And tells Amaya that you are my heart and my truth. I know if I start to doubt you, I'll know that I'm truly lost. Because what Amaya didn't mention was the only person who stayed loyal to the king was his true love, who he ended up sending away even because he was too paranoid to accept her loyalty. And Amaya's faith is unwavered, she assures Janai. Although we don't know what she signed, because Gren wasn't around.
No, but it's just a yes in longer form.
Yeah, and they hug and kiss. And we see how tall Janai is when they kiss. Also nice.
And because the future is uncertain and a dangerous time, but they should face it together and set time for a wedding date.
Hooray!
Yay!
Nice.
Yeah.
And then we get Karim, and he's holding the sunseed and says he's holding fate between his fingers, and Mianna warns him not to drop it. Wants to heal Solregum with the magic from the seed, and he says that it brings him no joy to bring down Janai, but he will do what he must for us and for his army. So for him and Mianna and for the army.
In the subtitles, I read something about sorghum. Not Solregum, but sorghum.
They got that wrong.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oopsie.
Yeah. And also interesting, they never ask him, hey, are you comfortable of healing your side with this tiny seed? No, they just assume it and do this whole thing with, hey, we have an army and we have this and this and this and let's do this. And And then they ask Solregum. Solregum says no. And then what? Come on.
Yeah, the last time he saw Solregum, Solregum said that he was depressed and he basically just wants to lay depressed in the cave for the rest of his life. And Solregum also said that he had lost all hope long before he'd lost his sight. So either Karim wasn't listening at all, or is just, so big-headed that he thinks that giving the sight back to the dragon will just kind of heal him and make him want to fight his battle. Like, it's very arrogant, but yeah, who knows?
Why not both, you know, like big-headed and didn't listen.
Yeah, true. You know? Yeah, both things. Both things can be true at the same time.
But yeah, weird. It's super weird.
Yeah. And then we get this split scene thing that we've had before of Janai talking to her people and Karim talking to his people at the same time. Not split screen, but switching scenes between them. And we just get all this, like, you know, Janai speaking with such kindness. And here we are. And then Karim's like, here we are. And he's speaking with violence and faith. And then Janai's like, no, doubt is our foe's biggest weapon, not faith, actually. And Karim says, they're outnumbered, but they are right. And Janai says, it's a new dawn for all of us, which Karim also says. But Karim's like, the immortal sun will shine good fortune on us once again. Like, super
weirdness. Yeah, he's like, blah, blah, tradition, blah, blah, former glory, blah, blah.
Yeah, and, or like, Nazi.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, cool, moving forward and building something together. And also with non-elves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like to build something new and better. Yeah. And she says that the most important thing is will they all trust each other?
Yeah.
Like, and that's really, really cool.
Also, it's interesting how the people react, because with Karim, they just do this weird hands thing.
The sunfire salute kind of thing,
And with Janai, they applaud.
Yeah.
And it's much more cheerful and,
Yeah, totally. Completely better. Different feelings. Yeah. And also in the audience with the, while Janai's giving her speech, we see the Sunfire Elf who was doing the ceremony with the candle.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the architect who'd put the flame out and stuff, all that story, them standing right beside each other as well. Yeah. So it's like, okay, there's all this feeling of like old wounds healing and all of this. And then Karim is all like hate and destruction. And
Yeah, forgiveness and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And Janai says that she's ready. Ah, now Janai says she's ready to face everything with Amaya and wants to set their wedding. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Hooray for Janai.
Yeah.
Hooray for Amaya.
And boo for Karim and Miana and what's his name? The Pharos? Magic priest.
Pharos. Yeah.
Yeah, boo for Nazi people.
Boo, boo, boo. Yeah, I thought
Nazi again, elves.
Nazi elves. the Sunfire elves and the Nazi elves. Yeah, and I thought about it again because I rewatched the last couple of seasons as well. And it was like with Karim, like I'm always like, oh, Karim, you know? And I remember the first couple of seasons of The Dragon Prince, I was like, oh, Viren, oh. It's like there always has to be one character just like, really?
Sure.
But in this, it's interesting because Karim's like the, really, just go away. And Claudia is like, oh, just come back, you know? Like, it's not the same, that it was with Viren. It's more like, yeah, we know you've got a good heart in there somewhere. You've got good reasons for doing just really terrible things. Sometimes good reasons, not always. Yeah.
And I'm also like pro Viren now, you know?
Yeah, go Viren.
Yeah.
Show everyone that even the most annoying evil people can maybe change.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Trump.
Although he did change a little bit in his talk and then changed again to the worst. Yeah. So, yeah.
No.
Okay.
There's no hope for some evil people.
No. Nazis.
Let's not talk about that. Okay. So.
A little bit political here.
Yeah. So I left the credits over to Yana for this chapter.
We forgot something.
What did we forget?
The Frozen North.
The Frozen North. We only had one scene, huh? I don't think I even wrote it down.
Okay.
Oh, I did write it down. Three words. Yes, please. Map. Symbols. Callum's map. Symbols.
Yeah. we basically have sneezing and Callum fiddling around with the magic cube and a map of Earth.
Of their, world. Earth.
Yeah, world. And writes down an X, and we looked up the map, and saw that the X is in Durin, where Anya is, the kingdom.
Queen Anya.
Queen Anya.
Yeah.
And we see other symbols. We have a triangle that's Inyan or Inyan, kind of.
Inyan.
Yeah, it's a floating skywing elf city. We have a crown symbol, that's Catullus. We have a square, the storm spire. And we have a circle, Ambator.
Yeah, so Callum is drawing his own map.
Yeah.
And the X seems to say that they might be going to Durin next. So it seems like they're going to make a stop by
Anya.
Queen Anya on their way to the storm spire.
And we don't know where the Frozen North is. Right.
Like, you can see it on the map then, on the wiki. It's above all of these places.
It's above the Frozen Sea?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought that the Frozen Sea is the Frozen North.
Yeah, but...
But I don't know.
Then they need a ship and blah, blah, blah and stuff.
But if it's frozen, they walk over it, huh? We don't know. We don't know, basically. Unless the Storm Spire... Unless the star...
I forgot the name.
What's it called?
Celestial
Starscraper.
Elf. Okay, yeah.
Unless that is...
Endurin.
No, it can't be Endurin. Yeah, it has to be in the magical lands somewhere. I'm guessing it's in that frozen area anyway.
Okay.
We don't know.
Maybe it's in the near of Inyan.
Yeah, maybe.
The floating skywing elves. Yeah, okay.
But would the star elves and the skywing elves live so close together? We don't know.
No.
But, I mean, yeah, I'm hoping we're going to see some floating skywing elf city stuff. No. That sounds cool. We'll see.
No.
Questions.
No. Okay.
More questions. All right. So, the title?
The title, we have Love, War, and Mushrooms. We have the love of, for example, Maya and Janai, Esrin and Sim and Subea, Soren and Corvus, Kellen and Rayla. So,
yeah.
Lots of love.
That's what I got as well.
We have the big war between Janai and Karin. And we have lots of mushrooms.
So many mushrooms. Yeah.
All Anything right. else?
No, like, I don't have anything else, actually. Yeah, just, like, overarching themes. I have love and trust, again.
Mm-hmm.
We've had trust in previous episodes and chapters, and trust is, like, a thing that comes up a lot in this series, and it's nice that it's come up again as a very important factor in kind of the goodies philosophies. Mm-hmm. And stuff. Yeah, that's it. That's cool. All I got. And we also already talked about my feelings about this chapter in particular. Then let's talk about the credits.
Okay, we have Sauron and Corvus with mush caps. We have Muko and behind him the giant mushroom. And its eye blinks like the Star Judge F sign or symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. Then we have the tree in Loxoria without the sun seed, but dark particles in place of the sun seed or something. It looks cool. It's like the staff of Claudia.
Ah, okay.
You know, a little bit like...
Speckled-y. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. we have Sauron as a trainer in Camp Catullus with a whiteboard, whistle, and a headband.
Really good.
Yeah, it's really nice. We have the Book of the King with 1,000 Eyes. And then the last one is Sim with lots of mushrooms and on and around him. And looking at the mushroom stack, which is a reference to Super Mario.
With the stacks of mushrooms.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But would be awesome.
Probably.
Then we have another mushroom thing with Mushroom Kingdom. Yeah. And... jumping on mushrooms in every game.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So, jelly tarts. We don't have many because I think we just said most of them.
No. I told you I was going to pick something, somebody up. And it would have been a comfy and cozy death.
With the
pillows. Swords.
Yeah.
Yeah, the rest is...
The rest, I think we already said all the funniest things. Yeah, and the Fellowship of the Pearl, and what brings you here, business or jelly? Yeah.
Lots of Sauron.
Yeah, and Callum, when Rayla asks him if he's okay going down to get the pearl by himself, and he says, I'll be fine, I have my blankie. Also cute and funny. And yeah, there's a humongous fungus among us. That's, I think, the best. I wanted to ask as well, like, we're like in season 6 now, we only have one more season to go, if there's anything else we want to add to our podcast structure. I've been listening to a few podcasts recently, and one of the things that came up was maybe having like a most important player of the episode. Like if that's something we could add, or I don't know, it was just a thought, if there was anything extra.
One thought about this, I think in chapter 2 it would be Muko, the mushroom mage.
Important one. Yeah, very important.
In the first one, I think maybe Terry, because of keeping everyone... No, I don't know. Yeah, good question.
Interesting questions. Yeah. I mean, it's more like a question to think about while you're watching it, I think.
Yeah. Maybe Callum, because he led with, okay, we have to destroy the pearl.
Yeah.
And then everyone is like, at the end, yeah, okay, let's do this.
Yeah. So MVP of episode 1, Callum, and MVP of episode 2,
Muko.
Muko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I could go with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another thing about the humongous fungus among us. Is it a reference to Among Us, the game?
Yeah, very good. And it also rhymes. Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
Maybe.
Could well be. Yeah. I mean, makes sense on many levels. I don't think I've laughed out loud in so much in any other episodes that we've recorded. This was a good one.
Although of the evil stuff we saw.
Yeah, lots of evil, but also, I guess the second chapter was a bit more comedy.
Uplifting.
Comedy relief
from
all of the heavy stuff. They do that well. We've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
They do that well.
Yeah. True.
All right, so I think we're done. Thanks for listening to us, and yeah, give us some feedback on the music choices, and yeah, look forward to recording for you next time. We're going to go off and watch the next two chapters with my wife this evening, who's waiting very patiently, I look forward to recording the next episode as soon as we can.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. We've been News from the Breach, and we'll also be News from the Breach next time.
True.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.